கட்டுவாங்க. விச் வெர்ஸ் 42 ஃப்ரம் 42. கட்டுவாங்க. ஹரே கிருஷ்ண. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் அஜ்ஞானதிமிராந்தஸ்ய ஜ்ஞானாஞ்சனசலாகய சக்ஷுருன்மிளிதம் யேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீகுரவே நம. ஸ்ரீச்சைதன்யமனோபீஷ்டம் ஸ்தாபிதம் யேன பூதலே ஸ்வயம் ரூப கதா மையம் ததாதி ஸ்வபதாந்திகம். வந்தேஹம் ஸ்ரீகுரோ ஸ்ரீயுதாபதகமலம் ஸ்ரீகுரூன் வைஷ்ணவாம்ச ஸ்ரீரூபம் சாக்ரஜாதம் சஹகணா ரகுநாதன்விதம் தம் சஜீவம் சாத்வைதம் சாவதூதம் பரிஜனா சஹிதம் கிருஷ்ணசைதன்யதேவம் ஸ்ரீராதா கிருஷ்ணபாதான் சஹகணா லலிதா ஸ்ரீ விசாகான்விதாம்ச்ச. ஹே கிருஷ்ண கருணா சிந்தோ தீனபந்தோ ஜகத்பதே கோபேஷ கோபிகா காந்தா ராதா காந்தா நமோஸ்துதே. தப்த காஞ்சன கௌராங்கி ராதே விருந்தாவனேஸ்வரி விருஷபானுசுதே தேவீ பிரணமாமி ஹரிப்ரியே. வாஞ்சாகல்பதருப்யஸ்ச கிருபாசிந்துப்ய ஏவச பதிதானாம் பாவனேப்யோ வைஷ்ணவேப்யோ நமோ நம. ஜெய் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர் ஸ்ரீவாசதி கௌர பக்தவ்ருந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ண ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராமோ ஹரே ராமோ 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 ஹரே ஹரே. ஹரே கிருஷ்ண. 9.9.42. யோ தேவைர் அர்ஹிதோ தைத்யான் அவதீத்யுதி துர்ஜய முகூர்த்தம் ஆயுர் ஜ்ஞாதவ்ய ஜ்ஞாத்வைத்ய ஸ்வபுத்ரம் சந்ததே மனஹ.
கிங் கட்வாங்க வாஸ் அன்கான்கரபிள் இன் எனி ஃபைட். Requested by the demigods to join them in fighting the demons, he won victory, and the demigods, being very pleased, wanted to give him benediction. The king inquired from them about the duration of his life and was informed that he had only one moment more. Thus, he immediately left his palace and went to his own residence, where he engaged his mind fully on the lotus feet of Lord.
So now we are discussing the dynasty of Anshuman. So Anshuman is the son of Sagara, and Anshuman's son is Dilipa, and both of them failed to bring Ganges down to this earthly planet for the deliverance of the 60,000 sons of Sagara. Then Bhagiratha, Dilipa's son, he succeeded. And Bhagiratha, in the line of Bhagiratha comes Saudasa, one prominent king. We discussed his story very elaborately. And Radhesham Prabhu also has given so many lessons on that episode, Saudasa. Then the lineage continues. Now we arrived at the story of Khatvanga. So in the 42nd verse, it is described that Khatvanga fought on the side of demigods, right, against the demons, and then he won the battle, and it was very exhausting for him. Then finally demigods asked him, "We are very pleased with your service, tell me, what do you want?" He said, I want to know how much more life, duration of life is left for me. Then he said, one moment. One moment is what? One muhurta. Right? Not 1 second or like something like that. One muhurta. Muhurta is how many minutes? 48 minutes. And where is this scene happening? In heavenly planets. There, 48 minutes is much more than our 48 minutes. So he had enough time. He had enough time to engage in devotional service. Enough time means like, it's not just one moment like this. Right? Not like that. It's more than that. So he engaged his mind fully on the lotus feet of the Lord. So Prabhupada says, how could this happen? Engaging fully in the mind, engaging the mind fully in the lotus feet of the Lord. Anyone can say, one mantra I will just keep all my distractions and other responsibilities away. I will just try to focus on this one mantra. Done. Now I can do any nonsense I want. So it's not that way. If that is the case, Prabhupada would have emphasized devotional service performed for one moment in the purport. But Prabhupada says devotional service should be performed from the beginning of life. He's not saying one moment is sufficient. Right? In this context. Khatvanga's devotional service is brilliant. He engaged himself for only one moment in devotional service, but he was promoted back to Godhead. So, Prabhupada says that if one practices devotional service from the beginning of life, it increases one's attachment from Krishna and surely he will go back to Godhead. Asamshayam, samagrammam. Asamshaya. Without any doubt, he will go back to Godhead. Right? Mayasakta, manah partha, yogam yunjan madashreha. Asamshayam, samagrammam. Yatha gnashyasi, tatsrunam. So, to reach this stage of engaging in devotional service when we have only one moment left in our life is not very easy. We have to engage in devotional service throughout our life. This offer sounds very exciting. Only one moment is needed. Rest of the life I can do whatever I want. But that is not the recommendation in this story. What is recommended here is, for you to be able to engage in one moment devotional service before you end your life, you have to practice devotional service throughout the life. Without any knowledge or practice of devotional service, how can somebody engage in devotional service just before he dies? Right? To reach this stage, one has to hear from bona fide sources. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachito. What's next? Sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachito. Second line. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachito. Second line, yes, Brihadaranyaka's prayers, 4.20, somewhere in 20s. Bhavat padam boja, oh, that is second line only. Bhavat padam boja sudhakana nila. Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam. Kuyogi namno itaratyalam varai. So, if one hears the glories of Supreme Personality of Godhead being delivered from the mouth of a devotee, right? And devotees, when they speak, when they are emanating pure sound vibration, that sound vibration carries the saffron dust particles of the lotus feet of the Lord, because they are always carrying lotus feet of the Lord in their hearts. Bhavat padam boja sudha kananila. Then what is the effect of coming in contact with that sudha kananila? Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam. So all the living entities here, especially human beings, so they have forgotten their connection with the Lord. But smritim punar, and the remembrance of their relationship with the Supreme Lord will be revived again by hearing from devotees. So like that, once that remembrance is revived and one gets into the practice of devotional service, and then whole life if he practices like that, then before death, he can easily understand, he can easily remember Krishna. He can easily perform devotional service in that one moment which is left. Right? Nauttama shloka vartanam jushatam tat kathamritam syat sambhramantakale api smaratam tat padambujam. So what is that verse saying? Na uttama shloka vartanam jashatam kathamritam means someone who has dedicated his whole life for glorifying the topics of the Lord, such a person will not run into any misconceptions even at the time of death. This is 18th chapter, 1st canto, 4th verse, right? Na uttama shloka vartanam jashatam tat kathamritam syat sambhramanta kalepi smaratam tat padambujam. No bewilderment even at the time of death. What will he do? Smaratam tat padambujam. He will be able to remember Krishna. So there, what is the emphasis? Whole life you lead a life of devotional service. Whole life you dedicate for glorifying the topics of the Lord. Then at the time of death you can focus on devotional service. Okay, there is no other substitute. This is not a shortcut. Katvanga's life is not a shortcut. Right? Many times it could be misunderstood that, okay, only one moment, okay, fine. Rest of the life I can do whatever I want. No, that will not happen. How will you get 100 out of 100 in your grand test? If throughout the month you don't study at all, you don't hear classes, you don't memorize shlokas, then you will get 100 out of 100 in grand test? No. Same thing here also.
Prabhupada says, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah.
If only one moment devotional service is sufficient, then why evam yo vetti tattvatah? Why you have to understand Lord's janma and karma? Why you have to study so many scriptures? Why you have to perform so many services? So darshan, deity worship, chanting, preaching, all of them will lead to attachment to Krishna. Maya asakta manah partha. Then one can fulfill the mission of life in one human birth. If one misses this opportunity, one does not know where he is going, how long he will remain in this cycle of birth and death, and when will he again achieve human life, the chance of to return back to Godhead. So human life is an opportunity to return back to Godhead. So Komaram Acharyat Pragna, why Bharalad Maharaj had to say that? At the end of the life, you remember Krishna, he would have said that. He said, from the beginning of life only you do devotional service. He was saying that. So, otherwise if one loses, durlabho manusho janma tadapi adhruvam arthadam. Okay, all that is very rarely achieved, and although it is temporary also, still it is very meaningful because one will get the opportunity to perform devotional service. So, just 1 or 2 days back I was chanting in the temple hall. And then I was chanting and then I saw one insect was crawling like that. Okay, you don't observe insects during chanting, it's not a recommendation. But I happened to watch that insect. So in the after few seconds, maybe 10 seconds, one devotee went like that and stepped out on that insect, and then he was just doing parikrama around the temple hall. I sit right in front of the altar, so he done, that life is gone. So insect is no more there. So if we enter into such low species, what will happen? Right? If the soul is transmigrating and loses this human birth and enters some species, of course that insect must have got the padadhuli of a Vaishnava. Okay, that may be different. It left its body in the temple of Radha Vrindavan Vihari or whatever. You may say that, but human life is rare, and insect life and all other forms of life are like very scary proposal to enter there, right? One insect is passing. Now, if one ant is there on this paper, which I am watching, on this book, its whole thing is in my hands. I can do like this, it will scatter somewhere else. Like, it can't just decide its course of action. Right, some child will come and then do something, and then it has to go somewhere, or it has to go to next life. So, like that, human life. Yeah, Prahlad Maharaj also says, let's use this human form of life, this body, as long as it is strong and stout. So, when our hairs will stand when we hear all these statements, okay, human life is great, and one has to perform devotional service as long as body is stout and strong. But when it comes to actual practice and application, many times it's difficult to apply. We will forget that, oh, this body is a nice instrument.
okay, we will go into some, you know, laxity mode, like that. Because the bodily conception is so strong, bodily conception is extremely strong, that in spite of hearing so much, we, it's very difficult to act on the level of level beyond bodily conception, right? It's bodily conception is so absorbing, like that. So even we hear so much about the glory of spiritual activities, we fail to recognize the spiritual nature of some simple activities. Simple spiritual activities. Okay, just doing some jhadu pocha here. That's a spiritual activity. Mandiram arjanadishu. A daily morning we are singing. Right? Or booking tickets for yatra. That is spiritual activity. Right? Arranging mic system for Bhagavad Katha. That is spiritual activity. These small, small, simple, simple activities, we fail to recognize the spiritual nature of the glory of those activities, right, in our day-to-day life. We just like take them for granted. It happens. So the most intelligent person therefore uses every moment of his life to render loving service to the Lord. Loving service to the Lord. Loving service to the Lord means the recommendation is not only to the Lord, to the devotees also. Okay, that is also service. When service means, it should be something esoteric and intimate and very privileged and serving closely whatever deities or sannyasis or preaching or something like that. It's not necessarily there. But being the servant of the servant is a very glorious position. Yesterday, Premanjan Prabhu was nicely explaining in his morning Bhagavatam class, heartfelt class. Right? Okay, now Khatvanga Muni, Khatvanga Maharaj, he is contemplating. He had only one moment now. So Khatvanga, being in favor of the Brahmanical culture, he wanted to utilize that one moment's time by fully surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So 43rd verse, he is saying, so Brahmanas are more important than anything else. 43.
Name Brahma Kulat Prana Kula Devan Najat Majaha Nashriyo Namahi Rajyam Nadarascha Divallabhaha. Not even my life is dearer to me than the Brahminical culture and the Brahmanas, who are worshipped by my family. What then is to be said of my kingdom, land, wife, children, and opulence? Nothing is dearer to me than the Brahmanas.
So nothing is dearer to me than the Brahmanas. So why? Because Brahmanas are very devoted to Krishna. Brahmanas are very dear to Krishna. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. So devotee of Krishna is very much attached to Brahmanical culture. Indeed, an expert personality who knows who Krishna is and what Krishna wants, is a real Brahmana. Prabhupada gives the real definition of a Brahmana. He knows what Krishna is, Brahma Janayati Iti Brahmana. Then he knows what Krishna wants. Krishna wants everyone to do devotional service. So he does devotional service, he makes others to do devotional service. That is a real Brahmana. So basically Prabhupada says, Brahmana means one who is a devotee of Krishna. So devotees are very dear to me. That's what Khatvanga Maharaj is saying in this verse. So Khatvanga regarded devotees of Krishna as real Brahmanas and the real light for human society. So one who desires to advance in Krishna consciousness must give utmost importance to Brahmanical culture. Then life will be successful. Naham Vishankeshwara Raja Vajran Natrikshasula Nayamasya Dandat Nagnyarka Soma Nilavitta Pastrat Shankhe Bhrujam Brahma Kulavamanat. So devotee adores and respects Brahmanas so much, and he fears offending Brahmanas so much, like that. He cannot offend them or disrespect them, or he cannot live without respecting them, like that.
44th verse. Navalye pi matir mahyam adharme ramate kvachit napashyam uttama shlokad anyat kinchana vastvaham. I was never attracted, even my childhood, by the insignificant things or irreligious principles. I do not find anything more substantial than the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So, in the 43rd verse, he said, Brahmanas are very important. Means devotees are very important. Here, 44th verse, he is saying, Lord is very important. Lord is the most substantial. Everything else is not very substantial. Like that. Even in childhood also, he said, all other things are insignificant things. I was never attracted, even in my childhood, by insignificant things or irreligious principles. Means what? Khatvanga is not engaging in devotional service in the last one moment only. Since childhood, right? Since childhood, he was considering Krishna only as substantial. That's why at the last moment of his life, he was able to focus on Krishna. Right? Since childhood, he had this practice. So, Prabhupada elaborates on the nature of a Krishna conscious person in this purport. A Krishna conscious person does not see anything to be important but Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only that he is important, no one else, nothing else. Nor does he accept anything within the material world as being unconnected to Supreme Lord. Simple fact. He considers Krishna as the most important. Right? And he sees everything as connected with Krishna. He doesn't see anything disconnected with Krishna. Everything is connected with Krishna. Means, important point here is, devotee does not, is considered only about Krishna only. Right? He is concerned about other things also because they are connected with Krishna. All this, when a devotee appears to be doing some protecting nature kind of thing or some apparently philanthropical things or whatever, taking care of other people, right? When a devotee does it, he can't consider it as normal, ordinary philanthropic activities. There's a devotional element to it. Okay? A rich man, just to prove his superiority or whatever, just to get, or a politician to get his votes, distributing food to poor people is different from our food for life. We want to connect them to Krishna by giving them Krishna prasadam. Like that. Because we see every living entity as part and parcel of Krishna. That's why when devotees do that food distribution activity or any other apparently philanthropic activity or protecting nature or whatever, it's with a attitude of seeing connection between every living entity and every object in this world with Krishna. They're aware of that connection. That's why they are respecting that. Like that. A Krishna conscious person does not see anything to be important but Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor does he accept anything within the material world as being unconnected to Supreme Lord. He says Krishna is only important, nothing else is important, but point here is everything else is connected with Krishna, means everything is important. Everything is important because it is connected with Krishna, like that. For an ordinary person, everything is important. And he doesn't notice the connection with connection of everything with Krishna. But devotee, everything is important because it is connected with Krishna. Ultimately, it is Krishna whom he loves. 10th canto, 14th chapter, we'll hear more. Right? Krishna is the dearmost object of every living entity. Sthavara jangama dekhe. Mahabhagavat does not see exactly the forms, but he sees the form of Supreme Lord manifest. Okay. Devotee uses the earned money for propagating Krishna consciousness. Then for a Krishna conscious person, nothing is palatable without a relationship with Krishna. Okay. 45th verse. Devaih kama varo datto mahyam tribhuvaneshwaraihi navrunetam aham kamam
bhuta bhavana bhavana. The demigods, the directors of three worlds, wanted to give me whatever benediction I desired. I do not want their benedictions, however, because I am interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created everything in this material world. I am more interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead than in all material benedictions.
So demigods are there. They can give benedictions. They can give material benedictions. But Khatvanga has no interest in those material benedictions. He has interest only in Krishna. So demigods, because he did lot of favor to the demigods. Demigods can favor him by giving him so many material benedictions. But Katvanga is not at all interested in any of them. Prabhupada elaborates on the mentality of a Krishna conscious devotee. A devotee is always transcendentally situated. Parandrishtvani vartati. One who has seen Krishna is no longer interested in material sense enjoyment. Example, Dhruva Maharaj. Initially he may be aspiring for material opulence, but after he has seen Krishna, but he was not at all interested in that material enjoyment. So this is the mentality of a pure devotee. He does not want anything, material or spiritual, from personality of Godhead. So Krishna Bhavanamrita. See, Devai Kama Varodatto Mahiyam Tribhuvaneshwaraihi Navrinetvam Aham Kamam Bhuta Bhavana Bhavanaha. So Bhuta Bhavana means Krishna, who has created this material world. Who has created this world? Krishna, who is the creator. So Bhuta Bhavana Bhavanaha. So his bhav is dedicated to that Bhuta Bhavana. So one bhava there is related to creation. Another bhava in that line is related to absorption in Krishna. Right? His bhav, his mentality. That way. So now, Krishna consciousness movement, ISKCON, is Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha. Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha means association of persons who are simply satisfied in thoughts of Krishna. So, ISKCON, everyone is supposed to be Bhuta Bhavana Bhavanaha. Then, ISKCON will become Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha. Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha is a bunch of people who are Bhuta Bhavana Bhavanaha. So being absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna is neither expensive nor troublesome. Prabhupada says, neither expensive nor troublesome. But it is difficult because of our absorption in other things. Right? Non-bhuta bhavana things. So manmanabhava madbhakto, Krishna says, anyone can always think of Krishna without difficulties or obstacles. This is Krishna bhavanamrit. One who is absorbed in Krishna bhavanamrit has no material benefits to ask from Krishna. Instead, such a person prays to the Lord for the benediction of being able to spread His glories all over the world. Devotees have desires. What kind of desires they have? To worship Krishna better, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So this kind of spiritual desires connected with Krishna, devotees are having. Others, they don't desire for any material benefits. Mama Janmani Janmanishwari. Their devotees don't even desire for mukti. They don't desire liberation from this cycle of birth and death also. Right? Prabhupada is there in the first volume of Leelamrita, that 40 years of his struggle was mentioned. So much struggle is mentioned, but you never see Prabhupada praying that, okay, I don't want these difficulties, give me a peaceful life. No. Prabhupada's constant thought throughout that first volume of Leelamrita was, how do I spread Krishna consciousness? He was never thinking, how do I come out of this poor financial position? Okay, how do I get a better home, better food, okay, better accommodation, all that? No. He was constantly absorbed in fulfilling the desire of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Like that. Then, Mama Janmani Janmanishwari. So, he doesn't want even liberation from birth and death. Narayana Parasarve Nagudasana Bhavyati Swargapa Vargana Rakeshu Apitulya Artha Darshana. So Swarga Naraka. Geographical location doesn't matter. Facilities, birth, nothing will matter. He just wants to perform devotional service. So he doesn't want any benedictions from demigods. That is mentioned in 45th verse. But why that is so? The reason he did not accept boon from demigods is given in 46th verse. Ye vikshiptendriya dhiyo devaste swahridi sthitam navindanti priyam shashvat atmanam kimutapare. So this verse is describing the rarity of realization of Lord.
Even though the demigods have the advantages of being situated in the higher planetary system, their minds, senses and intelligence are agitated by material conditions. Therefore, even such elevated persons fail to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally situated in the core of their heart. What then is to say to others, such as human beings who have fewer advantages?
So realization of Supreme Lord is very rare. Demigods, they are in higher planetary systems, but their mind, senses and intelligence are agitated by material conditions. Even they admit that in fifth canto, when they were glorifying Bharatavarsha. Why they can't absorb in Krishna? Atisaya Indriya Utsava. Right? Atisaya Indriya Utsava. Enhanced or very intense sense gratification. Indriya Utsava. Celebration. Okay? Of sense gratification. That too Atisaya. Very deep. Right? Very intensified. High grade sense gratification is available. So they can't remember Krishna. It's difficult for them. So they are also aspiring to have human births in Bharatavarsha. So Prabhupada gives an interesting explanation here that what blocks the realization of Krishna, right? What is the difficulty in realizing Krishna? Material anxieties. Prabhupada says, material anxieties. Krishna is there in everyone's heart. But because of our material anxieties, which are inevitable in the material world, we cannot understand Krishna. Although he is situated so near to us. We can't avoid material anxieties in material world. After all, we are in material world. We are conditioned souls. There are so many material anxieties. So, material anxieties will come. But you cannot take so seriously that you affect your absorption in Krishna. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. So, for those always agitated by material conditions, the yogic process is recommended so that one may concentrate his mind on Krishna. But this yogic process is a material attempt to realize the Lord, whereas bhakti, devotional service, is a spiritual process by which to realize Him. That way. So, material anxieties are very inevitable in this world. So, opportunity to take shelter of Krishna is always there for a devotee. But one needs to utilize it nicely without being anxious unnecessarily. So, the difference between a very experienced devotee and a very neophyte devotee is that some get too anxious. The neophyte gets too anxious about small things, right? But advanced devotee, they will leave some room for Krishna, right? They don't try to control everything, right? Not much is in our hands. You will do the needful, you will do your part and leave it in Krishna's hands. Like that. You can't control everything, every bit. So that doesn't happen. Already there is a lot of anxiety, unavoidable anxiety. As Prabhupada says, inevitable anxieties in the material world. So we need not increase that by thinking that we are controllers or we can rectify the situations. Right? We can leave something in Krishna's hands also. So now Khatvanga accepted the spiritual path. Therefore, he is no longer interested in anything material. Okay. Bhaktiyama abhijanati. Anya abhilashta sunyam. Bhakti is uncontaminated, being unalloyed even by jnana and pious activities. So Prabhupada glorifies bhakti here. So here Prabhupada is saying material anxieties will block one's realization of Krishna. Right? To come out of that material anxieties, some yogis will take mystic yoga path. But that is a mechanical process. But devotees take to devotional service. So they divert their anxiety towards Krishna conscious activities from material anxieties. Right? So that's how they are saved. Sunyam. They are not, bhakti is uncontaminated. It is not contaminated by jnana or pious activities also. What is that verse? Yatpada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashayam ghritatam utkritayanti santa tadvanna riktamatayo. Yatayopirudha, Srotoganastamaranam bhaja vasudevam. So other processes, people, even though they try to control their senses through their other means, they can't do it. But bhakta can easily do it. Like that. So bhakti is superior to other processes. Now finally, in the 47th verse, Khatvanga is saying that I will give up all material attachments and surrender to Krishna only. Like that, 47th verse. Athesha maya rachiteshu sangam.
Athesha maya rachiteshu sangam.
Guneshu gandharva puropameshu.
Guneshu gandharva puropameshu.
Rudham prakrityatmani vishvakartur Bhavena hitva tamaham prapadye.
Therefore, I should now give up my attachment for things created by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should engage in the thought of the Lord and should thus surrender unto Him. This material creation have been created by the external energy of the Lord is like an imaginary town visualized on a hill or in a forest. Every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment for material things. But one must simply give up this attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So I will give up material attachment and surrender to Krishna. Because this material attachments, which are just created by the external energy of Krishna, are Gandharva Puropameshu. They are just like Gandharva Pur. Right, you see on the Mount Kohol sometimes, right, in your imagination you might see that oh, some big castle has manifested, right, big city has manifested. Although there are only trees and some other things. So, it's all imagination. Okay? So, Akasha Pushpayate, something like that. So, entire world resembles such a phantasmagoria. And every materially situated person has attachment for it. So, conditioned soul means attachment to illusion. So, he is attached to Gandharvapur, which is not existing. It exists only in imagination. Similarly, material enjoyment, right, our material possessions, name, fame, glory, this and that, car, bungalow, wife, children, family members, all that, they are all temporary and illusory, right, they don't exist in reality. So soul in reality does not have any connection with all of them, right, material relations, material possessions, he doesn't have any relation. But he feels that urge, the relation and the attachment so strongly because of his absorption in that external energy. Khatvanga is saying, may I come out of that attachment, material attachment, okay, which is caused by illusion, which is not very substantial. May I focus on Krishna only. That is his final prayer here. And illusion means, do we have to leave everything and then focus on Krishna? Focus on Krishna means leave everything means not in the Mayavadic way. Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya, not that way. One can utilize all those connections, right? One's opulence or one's family members or friends or society, his name, his fame, everything can be spiritualized like that. Everything can be spiritualized. Even though a devotee may engage in apparently materialistic activities, he knows his position is well, very well. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Muchyate. So, idea is, we should not accept anything for our own sense gratification, but one can accept it for the service of the Lord. One can maintain relationships with others, right? But with Krishna in the center. One can have so many possessions or wealth or material opulence or gadgets or whatever, but in the service of the Lord. Like that. Vairagya Vijjanita Bhakti Yoga. Krishna consciousness movement of devotional service is the only process by which one can counteract our false prestige in this world. Okay, now 48th verse. Itivyavasito buddhya narayana grihitaya hitvanya bhavam ajnanam tatasvam bhavam asthitaha.
Thus Maharaj Khatvanga, by his advanced intelligence in rendering service to the Lord, gave false identification with the body full of ignorance. In his original position of eternal servitorship, he engaged himself in rendering service to the Lord.
Mm. So he was situated in the mood of surrender, finally. When one actually becomes purely Krishna conscious, no one has any right to rule over him. Even Durvasmani has no right to rule over Ambarish. Because Ambarish was a devotee, right? Material nature will not affect him. Nothing can affect him. He will transcend all the effects. So when situated in Krishna consciousness, one is no longer in the darkness of ignorance. And when freed from all such darkness, one is situated in his original position. Means the material nature will function the way it is. right? Apparently you will see its effect on a devotee's body or body also. But internally, devotee is absorbed in Krishna only. He is not feeling that effect. Right? For example, someone insults a materialistic person. The influence of that insult on that materialistic person is very severe compared to a devotee. Devotee, okay, it is my karma or it is because of my past misdeeds. I'll just focus on Krishna and he'll continue ahead. Like that. Preacher, book distributor. Right? You just go and show books. Right? People will look through you. They will not look at you. Right? They think as if you are not existent only. Right? So devotee, okay, fine. I'll move ahead. This fellow is not interested. I'll go to the next fellow. He'll just go like that. Right? So ego is not hurt. Like that. If one is doing service of Krishna. So, now, last verse of this chapter, 49. Sukadeva Goswami says, Krishna is understood by pure devotees only. 49th verse. Yattad brahma param sukshmam asunyam sunyakalpitam bhagavan vasudeveti yam grinantehi sattvataha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, Krishna, is extremely difficult to understand for unintelligent men who accept Him as impersonal or void, which He is not. The Lord is therefore understood and sung about by pure devotees.
So, different people will misunderstand Krishna's position in various ways, but pure devotees can understand Him properly and they will sing about His glories. Yam grinantihi sattvataha. Sattvatas can understand Bhagavan Vasudeva. So, yattat brahma param sukshmam asunyam sunyakalpitam. Unintelligent people will think that he is void or he is impersonal or something like that. There are so many other misconceptions about the Supreme Lord. But devotee can understand because of his bhakti. Bhaktiyamam abhijayanati. And he can go back to Godhead. Tyaktva deham punarjanma. By understanding Krishna's janma and karma. So, to summarize, in the 42nd verse, demigods informed Khatvanga that he had one muhurta to live. So, in the 43rd verse, Khatvanga is thinking that only Brahminical culture is more important. Brahmanas are more important than anything else because they are connected to Krishna. They are devotees of Krishna. And Krishna is the most substantial. Everything else is insubstantial. But everything else is connected with Krishna. In that way, they are also substantial. I give some importance to them also. That is there in 44th verse. 45th verse, he says, so I am not very much interested in benedictions given by demigods, material benedictions, but I am interested only in Krishna. So 46th verse, he says, how rare is that realization of Krishna? 47th verse, he says, I will give up all my material attachments and surrender to Krishna only. And 48th, he is totally situated in the mood of surrender, like that. That's how he spent his one muhurta life, which is left. This is all because he has performed devotional service throughout the life. Since childhood, he considered only Krishna as substantial and everything else is insubstantial. That's why he could utilize that last one moment, you know, properly. So the lesson we can take here is that one moment devotional service means it's not just one moment. There is a lot of practice behind that one moment. So devotional service is not a mere stage show where you have to act humbly in that drama, right? According to the nature of your role, just for one moment. You have to act humbly throughout the life. Like that. It's basically a lifestyle. It's a practice. Okay? It's not like a moment. It's moment to moment. Devotional service, not moment. It's not momentary surrender. It's moment-to-moment surrender. That is devotional service. Okay, before entering the next chapter, Prabhuji is online. Pass the phone. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji. Could you please speak a few words on Khatvanga Maharaj?
Yes, he was wonderful, Khatvanga Maharaj.
Yes, sir. Yes, Prabhu, second canto it comes. Just one or two verses.
Just only one verse and here there's more elaboration.
Yes, Prabhu.
Also, Prabhu, Ravindra Sadhguru told me that when I speak, it doesn't sound well. There's a gap and echo is coming, so I thought I will not speak anything.
Prabhu, now it is coming very properly, Prabhu. Earlier it was like that. Prabhu, earlier it was like that, but now it is very clear, Prabhu. We are keeping in front of the mic only. We are not connecting it to the speaker. Now we are able to clearly hear you, Prabhu. That lessons that you gave on Sudasa, we very clearly noted down, Prabhu. It was clear.
Oh, that's it. Actually, regarding Katrana, I'll just say one small thing.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah. Actually, in the verse number 46, it's written, in the verse number 46, Katrana Raja is telling that even though the demigods have advantages of being situated in the higher planetary system, their mind, senses, and intelligence are at the material condition. And then he is comparing the demigods with the human beings and saying that, oh, if even such demigods are getting attracted and attached to material conditions, what to speak of the human beings who have very few advantages what the demigods have. So that's a very important word actually, because their minds and senses and intelligence are agitated by material conditions. And demigods are all very exalted personalities, very learned personalities, and loaded with abundant facilities. And it's comparing them to the humans, how humans are insignificant. And basically he says that human beings can get swayed away very easily. Demigods can be swayed away, even they can be swayed away. So, very intelligently, he is making a choice between the two. The material conditions that are awarded to him by the demigod, and as opposed to that, the surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is far above. So, making a comparison of the two, and very carefully contemplating on the perishable nature of material commodities, on the material gifts of the world, even up to the facilities that demigods are enjoying. So he is comparing that and discarding that and making the right choice. And it is very understandable why Srimad Bhagavatam presents it in so many verses, because this is actually the sum and substance of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam always, in many places, is fine. While talking about the glory of Ambarish Maharaj, it says that Griheshu, Dareshu, Suteshu, Bandushu, and all that. Jupasana, Jupasana, Sandana, Vajivastushu. After giving a long list of Akshaya Bhams, Ananta Kosheshu, all that it says. And then it says, Asanmatyam, he considered all of them useless, and he did not develop attachment to them. Understanding that, just like a man waking up from a dream, similarly, he thought that all the facilities and pleasures of the material world are simply like a dreamy situation. So Ambarish Maharaj woke up from such a situation and he was absorbed in the service of Supreme Lord. And similarly here, Katvanga Raja also, although he is having the opportunity to take the benedictions that the demigods are willing to offer him, he is dismissing it and choosing to surrender to the Supreme God. And this is actually the trend all through Srimad Bhagavatam of all great personalities, whether it is Prahlad Maharaj, even Dhruva Maharaj lamented for being awarded the material benedictions. So it's very typical of a pure devotee to reject the material commodities and accept the shelter of the Lord, understanding the substance and value in such devotional surrender. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. So we'll take a short break now, 5 minutes. Then we'll come. We'll start 10th chapter.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
दो मिनट रुकना हाँ खाओ खाओ बिंदास ना पावर पॉइंट सिंपल पावर पॉइंट फोटो एल्बम पीछे एक बैकड्रॉप कॉमन बैकड्रॉप बस स्लाइड इफेक्ट इज 100 times बेटर यू कैन स्विच ऑन दिस समबडी कैन स्विच ऑन दिस माधव projector love story Will you come here?
9th canto, 10th chapter. Shri Shuka Uvacha Khatvanga Dirghabahuscha Raghustasmad Prithushravaha Ajastato Maharajas Tasmad Dasharatho Bhavat.
Sukhdev Goswami said, the son of Maharaj Khatvanga was Dirghabahu and his son was celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja and from Aja was born the great personality Maharaj Dasharatha.
So from second verse onwards we have the description of very brief, compact index table, contents table type of description of Ram Leela, full Ramayana presented in two chapters, no, especially one chapter only. Next chapter is little elaboration. Parikshit Maharaj asks a question and then he elaborates a little bit. So we will just go through this PowerPoint. They are just images only, so that you don't sleep. See the image? It's all storyline only, which you are very much familiar with. Okay. Second verse. Tasyapi Bhagavan Esha Sakshad Brahmamayo Harihi Asmamshena Chaturdhagat Amshamshena Chaturdhagat Putratvam Prathita Suraihi Ramalakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Iti Samyaya.
Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of God and the Absolute Truth Himself directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharata and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasharatha.
So, Sukadeva Goswami is beginning the story. Ram's appearance. All the demigods prayed and Lord appeared. In this South Indian chant, Suprabhatam, this beautiful verse comes describing Lord Ramachandra. Abhirama guna karadasharadhe jagateka dhanurdhara dhiramate raghunayaka rama ramesha vibho varado bhavadeva dayajaladhe. So, Abhirama, Lord Ram is so beautiful and Gunakara, he has unlimited beautiful transcendental qualities. In the fifth canto, we have studied that Lord Ram is like a touchstone. It's like touchstone can verify the quality of gold. Similarly, Lord Ram can verify the quality of all good qualities. Right, he can verify all good qualities. All good qualities like satyam, daya, whatever, austerity, sacrifice, righteousness, everything will attain their perfection when Lord Ram exhibits them. And Ram exhibits, he can exhibit certain quality to the greatest possible extent. So if he plays the role of a son, he will play the role of ideal son to such an extent that he will leave his kingdom overnight without any change in his expression and then he goes to Vanvas. Tomorrow is your Rajabhishek. Okay, not Rajabhishek. Go out for forest. So he will go without any expression, just to keep father's word. So he will play the, whatever role he plays, whatever quality he exhibits, so he does it to the maximum possible extent, in the most ideal way. That's why he is Gunakara. Dasharadhi. Jagadeka dhanurdhara dhiramate. There is no one superior to Lord Ram in using his bow and arrow, like that. So, Dasharadhe Jagadeka Dhanurdhara Dhiramate Raghunayaka Rama Ramesha Vibho Varado Bhavadeva Dayajaladhe. And he is Dayajaladhe also. He is very compassionate towards all the everyone, even the enemies also. He is compassionate even on the enemies also. So, Lord Ram once said, even if Ravana comes and surrenders unto me, I will give him shelter. Right? I will forgive for all the mistakes whatever he has done, and I will give him shelter. That is the glory of Lord Ram. So the next verse is
Avanitanaya Kamaniyakaram Rajani Karacharu Mukhamburuham Rajani Chararaja Tamo Viharam Mahaniya Maham Raghuramamaye Avanitanaya Kamaniyakaram. Avanitanaya is Sita Devi, who is the daughter of Avani, earth. Right? Kamaniyakaram. Krishna, Ram can enchant Sita Devi. Right? When he was breaking the bow, we'll discuss later. Sita was attracted not only by Lord's beauty, Lord Ram's beauty, she was also attracted by Lord Ram's speech also. Strength anyways, everyone is attracted. Right, that details we'll discuss later. So, Avani Tanaya Kamaniyakaram Rajanikara Charu Mukhamburuham. And his beautiful face is like moon, full moon. Rajani kara charu mukhamburuham. Rajani chara rajatamo viharam. Rajani chara means one who wanders in the night. Who are they? Rakshasas. Rajani chara raja, the king of rakshasas, demons. Who is that? Ravana. Rajani chara rajatamo viharam. He removed his ignorance, means he killed him. Ram killed Ravana. Rajani chara rajatamo viharam. Mahaniyamaham Raghuramamayi. So this is how Ram is glorified every day in the South India, at least. So here in the first verse, Sukadeva Goswami is describing that all the demigods prayed. So they were being tormented by Ravana and Rakshasas. So they went to Brahmaji and then said, oh, this is the problem. Then Brahmaji took all of them to Vishnu, and all the demigods and Brahmaji, they approached Vishnu and then prayed, please protect us from this fellow Ravan who is tormenting us so much. Then what Lord Ram, Lord Vishnu, he gave him them a suggestion, solution. All of you should become monkeys, right? I will come, I will descend as a human being, because Ravana said I should not be killed by this fellow, that fellow, so many things he said, but he never mentioned the name of Nara and Vanara. So he was so proud that human beings and monkeys are so insignificant that they cannot kill him. So I'll become Nara, you become Vanara. So he gave them solution. So for us to, for one to accept a solution from a superior, he needs to have humility. We have to become monkeys? Yes, then only you will get solution. So all the demigods become monkeys. Right, Sugriva, Angada, Vali, etc. Not Vali, many others are there. So they were humble enough to accept that solution. Rama means one who gives pleasure to one who sees him. Abhirama, Gunakara Dasharade. If you see Lord Ram, that darshan is so pleasing and purifying. That's why he is called Rama. So just like we discussed that Ram is like a touchstone who can verify all the good qualities. Means the qualities will become glorified when Lord Ram exhibits them. Not that Ram is glorified because of exhibiting that quality. Right? Quality will shine more than the personality who is exhibiting that quality. Just like Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam. Just like Krishna, when he wears some ornaments, ornaments are beautified because of adorning Krishna. Okay, Krishna is anyways beautiful, right? Mercifully he is taking that ornament and putting that way. So here, Lord appeared in the form of, Lord and his expansions appeared as the four sons of Dasarath Maharaj. Dasarath Maharaj performs a Putra Kameshti Yajna, and then the Yajna Purush comes out and then gives him this payasam, and that is distributed among the three queens, and he gets four sons, right? Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna. So here, there is a comment on the Supreme Personality of Godhead's multiple expansions. Anadi Manantarupam, Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishthan, Advaita Machyutam Anadi Manantarupam. So there are unlimited incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they are all one and the same. But Krishna remains the original candle, but all other candles also can give same light. So now, Lord's multiple expansions can exist in any part of the creation, Prabhupada says.
So they exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles. All are equally powerful. So Ram and Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna, this is Supreme Personality of Godhead and his four expansions. Prabhupada says that some people say that these four personalities are the expansions of Chaturvyuha, and some say that these four are the expansions of Supreme Lord and Shankha Chakra and what else? Gada? Padma. So, weapons of the Lord or Chaturvyuha of the Lord. But both can be true because they can be from different millenniums. Okay, both descriptions are true. You can reconcile them like that. So, Prabhupada says. So, Lord Ram is growing. Now, Sukadeva Goswami very quickly summarizes. Tasyanucharitam Rajan Rishubhis Tattvadarshubhi Shrutam Hivarnidam Bhuri Tvayasita Patermuhu.
O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramchandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramchandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen.
So, here Sukadeva Goswami, right in the opening, he says that you have already heard the glories of Lord Ram. Okay, because you already know the story, I will explain in brief. Right, I will give only the contents table. Okay, because you know the contents of the book already. So, Prabhupada says, one should hear only authentic descriptions of Ram. Right, accept authentic versions of Ramayana only. So, but learned and spiritually advanced will accept the descriptions of Lord Ram and his activities only as presented by Tattvadarshis. Those who know the absolute truth. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshitantide jnanam jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinah. Tattvadarshis, one who knows this knowledge, they can only present it better. There are so many non-tattvadarshis who have incomplete knowledge of absolute truth or misunderstanding of the absolute truth. They write so many commentaries on Ramayana, but they are not acceptable. Prabhupada says, Valmiki Ramayana, or what Sukadeva Goswami says in this Bhagavatam, they are like authentic descriptions. We must select only those books written by Tattvadarshis, not the books of so-called scholars who are modern Rakshasas. Prabhupada says, so-called scholars are modern Rakshasas who claim knowledge only on the basis of doctorate. So, authentic descriptions. Now, fourth verse is very long. Can someone read the translation?
To keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramchandra immediately gave up the position of king and, accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even a touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, king of the monkeys, or by other monkey, Sugriva, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshmana, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Shurpanakha, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows and thus frightening the ocean. One then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him, like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord, Ramchandra, give us all protection.
So, like almost full Ramayana in one verse. This is basically a prayer, beginner. So, fourth and fifth verses are Sukadeva Goswami's prayers before describing Ramayana elaborately, brief elaboration. So, may that Supreme Lord who went to Vanavas give us all protection. That is his prayer here. So, here there is a mention that Lord Ram's lotus feet could not bear the touch of Mother Sita's hands. So, Sita Devi touches Lord Ram's lotus feet, they will become reddish. They can't bear. Right? So, that is the delicate nature of Lord's beautiful body. And such personality, he is going on Vanavas. Right? And everyone against their desire,
they are sending Lord Ram with so much tears in their eyes, and they were putting so much curses on Kaikeyi and others. So Dasharatha Maharaj gave up his life, right, because of separation from Lord Ram. So if Lord Ram's association is so captivating, and his presence is so enchanting, one can only imagine how much distress his separation could cause towards all the living entities. Right? So here, Sri Ram Prabhu came, Madhav Gopal Prabhu came, just to see the images. So that lotus feet of the Lord Ram delivered Ahalya also. So we can only imagine the beauty of that personality and the attachment all these personal associates could have, especially the parents, right, can have for him. So when such a personality leaves this kingdom, so all of them will definitely be just immersed in lamentation and deep separation. So Dasharatha Maharaj, he was unwilling to send Lord Ram with Vishwamitra, right? Although Vishwamitra is known to be very angry sage, and especially when a Brahmana comes, although he is not an angry man or whatever, even if a normal Brahmana comes and requests something from a king, king is obliged to fulfill his request. And here, such a powerful Brahmana, who is Vishwamitra, such an angry Brahmana, and who had such a, you know, memorable experience with one of his previous kings, who is that? Harishchandra. Harishchandra had a bad experience with Vishwamitra, and Dasharatha happens to be the descendant of Harishchandra. Knowing all this, Dasharatha Maharaj said, I cannot send Lord Ram. I will come. All my army will come, but I will not send Lord Ram. He said that. He promised, whatever you want, I will fulfill. He said, Ram. Ram, I cannot give. Right? So he was about to break his promise also. That is the extent of attraction towards Lord Ram. So Lord Ram attracts people to such an extent. Then Vasishtha comes and then says, no, he will come back, right? Even though it is known that Lord Ram will come back along with Vishwamitra, or Lord Ram will come back after 14 years of Vanvas, still they could not bear separation. Dasharatha Maharaj could not bear separation, and he just gave up his life. Like that is the extent of separation one could feel from Lord Ram. Then fifth verse, again one more prayer Sukadeva Goswami is offering. Vishwamitra dhare yena marichadya nishacharaha pashyato lakshmanasyaiva hata nirratta pungavaha.
In the arena of the sacrifice performed by Vishwamitra, Lord Ramchandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. May Lord Ramchandra, who killed these demons in the presence of Lakshmana, be kind enough to give us protection.
Hmm. So, here Sukadeva Goswami is recollecting this incident where Vishwamitra's sacrifice was given protection because of Lord Ram. He killed all the demons. Right, Subahu, he just threw away Maricha. So Maricha became aware of the prowess of Lord Ram. How powerful is this 16-year-old boy, or 12-year-old boy. And before this incident happened, Lord Ram killed this Tataki. So to follow the order of Guru, Lord Ram, the first demon Lord Ram killed was a lady, and Lord Ram was ready to accept that defamy. Right, Guru's order is sometimes very difficult to follow. Okay, this is the first demon I am going to kill, Lord Ram. And the rest, for the rest of eternity, people will note this down. This will be recorded in history. Okay, Lord Ram said, okay, fine. You want me to kill? I will kill. Although she is a lady. Right? So Guru's grace is more important than public disgrace. Although when so many people may criticize or misunderstand one's activities, but if it is ultimately pleasing to Guru and Krishna, one has to do that activity like that. There could be so many opposition from outside parties, but one will seek the blessings of Guru. And
Ram and Lakshman served Vishwamitra so nicely, right? And they received blessings. And after that incident, after protecting Vishwamitra sacrifice from Maricha and Subahu and other demons, so Lord Ram also delivers Ahalya. This is another incident. Then next is the Swayamvar. Okay, sixth and seventh verse are speaking about Lord Ram's union with Sita Devi.
Yo loka veera samito dhanurashisham dhanurai shamurgyam. Sita Swayamvar grihe trisatopanitam. Adaya bala gajalila ivekshayashtim. Sajjikritam rupa vikrishya babhaunja madhye. Jitvanu rupa gunashila vayonga rupam. Sitabhidam Shriyamurasya Bhilandha Namnanam Marge Vrajan Bhrugupater Vyaja Vyanayat Prarodham Darpam Mahim Akritayas Trirajarja Bijam.
O King, the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. In the assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of this world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men, but Lord Ramchandra bent and strung it and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally as endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, she was a goddess of fortune who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramchandra met Parshuram. Although Parshuram was very proud, having rid the earth of royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a Kshatriya of the royal order.
So these two verses are describing Lord Ram's marriage with Sita Devi. So after protecting Vishwamitra's sacrifice from the demons and delivering Ahalya and killing Tataka, so Vishwamitra and Ram and Lakshman head towards Mithila, and on the way also they meet Sita Devi. So in the Swayamvar, Sita Swayamvar, Lord Ram broke the Shiva Dhanus, right? So at that time, Gauram Prabhu explains, I heard this from Gauram Prabhu, that Ram was 12 years old and Sita was 6 years old, right? Lord Ram was like maybe this tall and then Sita is like much shorter compared to Ram. And even at that age also, before that age also, Sita lifted this bow, right? How powerful Sita could be, you can understand. Even before 6 years old. So Lord Ram picked up that bow and then kept the one end of the bow between his left or right leg, one leg toe, right? And then he just stringed the bow and then pulled it, twanged it, and then broke it into two, right? Then Sita Devi came with a garland, right? She approached Sita Devi. She approached Ram and then she was about to put the garland. And because, and later Ram said, why are you putting garland on me? My guru told me, go and string the bow. So I tried to string the bow and it somehow it broke also. So I received an order only to break the bow or string the bow. This marriage is not there in the proposal, right? Why are you putting this garland on me? So Sita was little stunned, right? Janaka Maharaj was even more stunned. I have made this all arrangement only to get my daughter married. Okay, and there was absolutely no warrior in the entire, Aryavart to string this bow. And finally, I found one guy. And then he says, marriage is not there, right? He came to Swayamvar and broke the bow and then he's not accepting garland from my daughter. He became little, worried. Then Vishwamitra came and then spoke, no, you can accept the garland, fine. But later,
our Sita Devi was about to put the garland, and Ram, like, he was tall, he was not bending. He was like this. Sita was short. She was trying to put. But Lakshman, he was very intelligent. He just came and offered obeisances in front of Lord Ram. And when someone offers obeisances, you have to lift him up. Ne? So Ram bent him to lift, bent to lift Lakshman, and Sita put the garland. That's how the Swayamvar happened. Right? So at this point, Sita was very much attracted by Lord Ram's bravery and his expert speech also, like that. So he said, I can't accept a hand of a lady without father's permission. Then Vishwamitra came and told, and then he accepted. Then, after this incident, in this two verses only, there is another incident. On the way back to Ayodhya, after Lord Ram accepted Mother Sita and they were going back to Ayodhya, there Parshuram came, right? So Parshuram came, and there is an incident from Parshuram. There is an interesting discussion. On the way back to Ayodhya, everything became dark and the earth was shaking and the birds stopped singing. So Dasharatha asked Vishwamitra, is this Ravana coming here? Then Vishwamitra said, no, this is Parshuram. And he said, he was about 100 miles away. That's why you are seeing this effect. If he comes very close, you can see, you can understand how much effect he will see. So Dasharatha asked, what are you going to do? Are you going to do anything to protect us? He said, and he asked Vasishtha also. So both of them replied, in this we have only one opinion. Usually we have two opinions, but here only we have one opinion. Vishwamitra and Vasishtha, both of them said, only one opinion. What is that one opinion? We are going to lay down and close our eyes because Parshuram is coming. Right? No action is their common opinion. So they laid down and closed their eyes, and Parshuram was coming closer and closer. Right? Dasharatha was becoming very anxious. Finally, Parshuram came. So only two people were conscious. By the time Parshuram appeared on the scene, only two people were conscious, Ram and Lakshman. Even Bharat and Shatrughna were on the ground. Right? Ram told Lakshmana, looked at Lakshmana and said, you have planned something? So then Parshuram came to him and said, who is this Ram? Ramchandra said, it is you. You are Ram. Right? You are Parshuram. Who else is Ram? Ram asked very intelligently. Parshuram said, some young child from Ikshvaku's dynasty, how dare he break Lord Shiva's bow? I have controlled the Kshatriyas so much. I have finished them all. And now someone else is coming. He must know that I am still here. Ramchandra said, no. What is the problem? I didn't break it. But the bow was so weak that I just lifted it and it broke into pieces. Bow was very weak, he said. Parshuram said, you mean to say that you are so strong that Shiva's bow is so weak? That when you lifted the bow, it broke? Actually, that is the comparison. Lord Ram was compared to baby elephant and Shivadanu was compared to sugarcane. What is sugarcane in comparison to baby elephant? So the Lord Ram was compared to baby elephant, not even big elephant. Right? So there is like too much difference. No? So you mean to say that you are so strong? So the Kshatriyas are becoming strong again. And I am not going to leave it like that. If you think that you are so powerful, then why do you insult Lord Shiva? You don't think you have done some aparad? So Parshuram was questioning Lord Ram like this. Then he said, and how does this Janaka Maharaj make this Swayamvar like this? That someone should string Shiva's bow. So he is also an imposter. Now again I will start and I will finish all of you. Finish Dasharatha, finish Janaka, finish everyone. Finish Ram, Lakshman, everyone. So Parishram is in that mood. Then Ram said, yes, many people are supposed to be finished. But it is supposed to be done by me. Right? Means all, Rakshasa Samhar I will do. Okay? Now, in just few minutes, Parishram will take a low profile now. Right? Parshuram said, now you are competing with me? He took his axe and said, you look at this. Ram and Lakshman paid obeisances to the axe. Parshu. So why are you paying namaskara to my axe? So Parshuram asked, and Ram and Lakshman replied, because it killed all the bad Kshatriyas. It is a famous weapon.
It is a weapon of Vishnu. And we are in the Surya dynasty, so we must offer obeisances. So Parishram was perplexed. What? They are speaking. He is in a very angry mode and they are trying to just make the whole scene in a very humorous way. So at one point they are instructing and they are paying obeisances. So there is something here and I am not able to figure out, Parishram said. So I will have to give them a test. Then he addressed them. If you are so courageous and so strong, I will give you the bow of Vishnu. Let us see if you can string it. Ram said, anything you give, I will take. And anything you say, I will do by your blessing. So then Parishram closed his eyes and lifted his hands. He was invoking Sarangadhanu, the original bow of Vishnu. Right? What? So he was calling and calling, but it was not coming. So, and then he opened his eyes and he saw that Ram was already holding it. And it was already strung. Then he said, you are source of all strength. Now I understand this is that it is you, not me. You are Ram. I am not Ram. So he said, who is that Ram? Who, you know, string, you know, Shiva's bow. Now he said, I am not Ram. You are actual Ram. So now I have no worries. I will go and meditate. So that's how Parshuram kind of retracted from now. Then Parshuram paid obeisances. Ram said, now what am I supposed to do? Now here Parshuram is offering obeisances. Then Ram said, what am I supposed to do? Then Parshuram paid obeisances. And I have strung the bow. I have put an arrow upon it. I need some object. Here he took the bow. Na? He strung the bow also. I am Ram. My arrow and my word never go wrong. This arrow has to get an object. So, where should I aim it? You tell me. You have put me in a very bad, big dilemma. The arrow is here. I have to shoot it. So, where shall I shoot it? Parishram said, you shoot it on my strength. Right? And you take it. You shoot it on my strength, you take my strength also. Because Parishram is a Shaktyavesh avatar. Okay? Lord Ram is superior compared to Parishram. So, you just take away my Shakti again. Because I don't need to exist again, exist anymore. Because you have appeared, you will do the rest of the protection of this world. So I need not be there. So you take back my Shakti, like that. Then Parshuram went. And so far only two people were conscious, all other were unconscious. So all of them became conscious now. Then Dasarath Maharaj asked, what happened? Ram, are you safe? What happened? Then Ram said, no, Parishram just came and explained us the history of this bow and then he left. Okay. So this is from Ramayana. Now, 8th verse.
Yasatya pasha parivita pitur nidesham. Stranyasya chapi shirasa jagrihesa bharya. Rajyam Shriyam Pranayinai Suhrudo Nivasam Tyaktvaya Yauvanamashun Iva Mukta Sangha.
Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramchandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life and went to the forest with Sita.
Very beautiful. Yes, Satya Pasha Parivita Pitur Nidesham. Satya Pasha. He was bound by Satya. What is that Satya? Parivita Pitur Nidesham. It was the order of his father that he has to go out for Vanavas. Right? He was bound by the promise to his wife. So this Pasha is on Dasarath Maharaj. Right? Ram took it on him. Right? And then he left. So along with wife. So actually the scene, the incidents happened before our Manthara came and then she polluted the brain of Kaikeyi. So Kaikeyi asked benediction. So here Kaikeyi is exemplifying the power of bad association. Right? So Manthara just implanted the seed of envy in the heart of Kaikeyi and she became selfish. Because of the power of bad association. She became selfish about the son and envious of another son, and Rama, whom she had lot of love earlier. So Kaikeyi is also an example of misplaced compassion. For nobody's benefit, she was thinking that I was benefiting Bharat Maharaj. And Bharat said, you are not my mother only. Right? Because you have sent my brother away, I cannot accept you as my mother. Okay? You wanted kingdom for me, you take this kingdom. Okay? You live kingdom, live in this kingdom, you become the queen or whatever. So I will also go to Vanvas. Right? You will have no one. You lost your husband and you will lose your son also. And alone you will just cry and then just live for the rest of eternity in this kingdom only. I am going. I will reject you as my mother. And he said, for nobody's benefit, Kaikeyi did this. Only out of sheer envy and because of bad association of Manthara. Right? Even Ashwatthama also, for nobody's benefit, he killed the sons of, sleeping sons of Draupadi. Like that. So Bharat Maharaj is another example of misplaced compassion. Right? Although they don't deserve compassion, they try to show compassion. And here, although Bharat Maharaj doesn't need compassion, she is showing compassion. Okay, like imaginary compassion. Right? So selfishness means swartha. So trying to act according to one's own interest will only lead to disaster. It will not lead to anyone's benefit. But what is the real swartha? Natevidam swartha gatim hi Vishnu. Vishnu is the real swartha. One has to work on that swartha, not some other material aspects. Another important lesson we can learn from this episode is Kaikeyi was asking two boons to Dasarath Maharaj. So when one is satisfied, he feels that I don't need anything, I have no desires, like that. So when Kaikeyi helped Dasarath Maharaj in some war against Shambharasur, then Dasarath Maharaj told, you can take any two benedictions from me. Kaikeyi was satisfied at that time. She didn't feel the need for any boons, right? So she said, I don't need. Okay, if I need, I'll ask you later. She said like that. But later, she felt the need, right? Because of the selfishness, the seed of selfishness, you know, planted by Manthara. Similarly, when somebody is in wrong association, he will develop unnecessary desires also, although he is not actually in need of them. If one is satisfied, okay, he'll go. Somebody is satisfied with, you know, normal mobile, it's okay. If he goes in the midst of an association where everybody is using iPhone, right, he will also develop a desire. I also need an iPhone. I can't survive without iPhone. I can't do my service without iPhone. So he may feel like that. Right? So association creates. Sangat sanjayate kama. So she was taking the association of Manthara. A different kind of desire developed in Kaikeyi. I have to become Rajamata. Now later, Kaushalya will become Rajamata. Right? I will be like Dasi in front of Kaikeyi, in front of Kaushalya. I have to become Rajamata. My son has to become king. So she was thinking like that. So Kaikeyi went and told Dasarath Maharaj, I want these two boons. Now, Kaikeyi's desire here is actually Lord's plan. Right? We cannot offend Kaikeyi. We can take lesson from the behavior of Kaikeyi, but we can never offend Kaikeyi. Because the purpose of Lord Ram to come to this world is to kill the demons and reduce the burden of the earth and to reciprocate with the sages who are doing their tapasya in the forests, right? And to spend some time in seclusion with Sita Devi, right? There in Vaikuntha, Lakshmi was saying, we never get seclusion only, right? So many associates of you are just always, bothering you. It's offering prayers or whatever. You have to give time to all of them. I don't get seclusion. Okay, even on your bed also, you have a snake bed. Snake is always there only. Adisesh is always there only. I want some seclusion. She said, okay. In Ramavatar, you will get to spend time with me in seclusion. 13 years they had spent time in seclusion. Right? So Kaikeyi is basically an instrument in this bigger plan of Lord. Like that. We need to understand that perspective also. And Lord Ram also wanted to worship the deity of Ranganath. So Lord Ram worshipped. So Prabhupada writes here, Dasaratha is bound by his promise and ordered Lord Ram to go to forest according to the dictation of his beloved Kaikeyi. So Dasarath was bound by the promise, right? Satya Pasha Parivita Pitur Nidesham. So Lord, as an obedient son, accepted the order immediately. Now one needs to be, one lesson from Dasarath's behavior is, one needs to be very careful in accepting favors from others. So if we give a promise to some less intelligent people, if we become obliged to such less intelligent people, we don't know what they will expect from us later. Something like Aditi, Diti. So Diti served our Kashyapa so nicely, and then later he said, I want a son who can kill Indra. My God. Here Kaikeyi was so nice and he was helping Dasarath Maharaj, and then she said, send Ram away to Vanvas. Like that. So one need not be obliged. Before giving promises to someone, so one can be little careful, especially in preaching. If we become obliged to some, you know, relations, that might disrupt our own devotional service only. Like that. Sometimes we may need to compromise our own bhakti because of some non-devotional obligations. Right? So this is one lesson we could learn from this event. Rakshasvasur vyakrita rupam ashuddha buddhes tasyakharat trishiradushana mukhya bandhun jaghne chaturdasha sahasram aparaniya kandon kodan kodanda pani ratamana uvasa krucham.
While wandering in the forest, where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramchandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends, headed by Kara, Trishira and Dushan.
So Lord Ram was going to Vanvas, and Dasarath Maharaj leaves his body because of separation from Lord Ram. And one interesting thing is, Lord Dasarath had four sons, and none of them were around Dasarath Maharaj when he was leaving his body. Two were in their, you know, grandfather's house, two went to Vanvas. Like that. That is the nature of this material world. This happened with Dasarath Maharaj. And on the way, he meets Guha also. He gives some association to Guha. Okay, all these are not mentioned in Sukadeva Goswami. And they meet a lot of sages. And some of these sages, they developed attraction towards Lord Ram, and then they wanted union with Lord Ram. I am a male, you are also male. It doesn't happen. When I become Krishna, I will fulfill all your desires. So many of the gopis in the Rasalila in Krishna, in Krishna's incarnation, most of them got attracted to Lord Ram. Okay? Because of their attraction towards Lord Ram, they got female bodies in Dwapar Yuga, and then they had to associate with Lord Krishna. Right? So they meet so many sages. Okay. On the way, they kill Kabandha. And this fellow is one Rakshasa with one mouth in the abdomen, right? One eye only, and two hands. So Ram and this is another version. Different painters. This is Viradha. Right? This is another demon. Okay, now here Sukadeva Goswami mentions Sorpanakha. So Sorpanakha comes and sees Lord Ram. She was behind the tree there. She comes and sees Lord Ram, and she gets very much attracted to Lord Ram, and then she takes the form of a beautiful woman, and then comes to Lord Ram and says, you please accept me. Then there is another reference that says that Sorpanakha actually forgot to take a beautiful form also. She came in her original beautiful form in front of Lord Ram and said, you accept me. Right? Original form. So there are some references that also. Then Ram, they were having a lot of fun there. Ram says, you accept Lakshman. Lakshman says, you accept Ram. And she says, like, she was confused. And finally she attacks Sita Devi. Because of you only, these two people are just playing with me, so I will kill you. Then Lakshman just cuts her nose and ears, and then sends her away. Then Surpanaka sends 14,000 Rakshasas, headed by Kara, Dushana, Trishira. So Lord Ram, single-handedly, within a very short amount of time, maybe 45 minutes or 1 hour, he kills 14,000 Rakshasas alone, without a chariot also, being a Vanvasi. Actually, before this fight, Lakshman asks, why you have to go and kill? I will kill. Okay, you just be with Sita. I'm your servant. Then Lord Ram says, no, you don't know. I will go and kill. What happened was Sita said in the one was, you are carrying bow and arrow. Are you going to kill someone or not? In the one was, Sita once said. So Lord Ram felt a little embarrassed. So now to show Sita of the prowess, of his own prowess, Ram said, "A ghar ka mamla hai," as Gauram Prabhu says. Right, I have to show my prowess to Sita. Instead, he was saying that. And Lakshman, you just guard Sita. I will take care of this 14,000. So all Khara, Dushan, everyone died. Then Sita was impressed. Oh, good. Because she never saw a fight. Okay, now, next verse. This is 10th verse. Sita katha shravana deepita hrutshayana. Sita katha shravana deepita hrutshayena. Srishtam vilokya nrupate dashakandharena. Jagnedbhutaina vapushashramato prakrishto. Marichamasu vishikhena yathakam ugra.
O King Parikshit, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires, and he went to kidnap her. To distract Lord Ramchandra from his ashram, Ravana sent Maricha in the form of a golden deer. And when Lord Ramchandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it, and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha.
So, this Surpanaka was insulted. Okay, her nose was cut, the most beautiful part of the face, right? If the nose is cut, the face beauty is gone. Other day, Nandadulal Prabhu was explaining. So, her face was cut. And then she went to Ravana. And she was doing some Sita Katha. Okay? She was attracted to Ram Katha. She is doing some Sita Katha. Sita katha shravana deepita hrutshayena. So this Dashagandhara Ravana, he heard Sita katha, the description of the beauty of Sita, right? And hrutshayena, he developed lusty desires towards Sita, right? So what he did, he planned. He went to Maricha. Right? Srishtim vilokya nrupate dashagandharena jighne adbhutaina vapushashramato prakrishto. So, Adbhuta Ena Vapusha, he has made a very beautiful deer out of golden deer, right? He ordered Maricha to transform into a golden deer to attract Sita Devi, because he was attracted by Sita's beauty. So, he made her get attracted to this Maricha golden deer so that he can kidnap her. Actually, Maricha, he already knew the prowess when Ram was protecting Vishwamitra's sacrifice, his friend Subahu, he was killed, right? So Maricha was giving good advice to Ravana. So Ravana, because he was infatuated by lust, he could not take any good advice. So Maricha, he chose to die in the hands of Lord Ram, because Ravana was saying, I will kill you. If you don't assist me in my plan, I will kill you. So instead of being killed by you, let me be killed by Rama. So that was his logic. That was a different logic. So he took the side of Ravana to be killed by Ram. But Jatayu took the side of Ram to be killed by Ravana. May I be killed in the hands of an enemy, no problem, but I will assist Ram only. I will be on the side of Ram only. That was Jatayu's consciousness. But Maricha had a different consciousness. Right? I will be side on Ravan, it's okay, but I should be killed by Ram. So that was that. So Ravana heard from Surpanaka. So developed lusty desires. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, he wrote an article that all this propaganda, you know, billboards, this and that, they were representing Surpanaka only. Right? They invoke the lusty desires of people. Like that. So hearing from wrong sources causes disaster. So Ramayana proves this very much. So lust can make one do anything. So Ravana, such a great king, right? Such a powerful man. So cheaply he went in the disguise of a sage to kidnap one lady. So he just fell down to such an extent. So this golden deer came and Sita got attracted to that golden deer. So Lakshman told, this golden deer is a wonderful thing. We never hear such golden deers are there. And Sita said, no, 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 I want this only. Then Ram had to go. He was obliged by the request of Sita Devi. And this fellow Ravana came in the form of a sage. And then he kidnapped Mother Sita Devi. Right? So on the way to Lanka, this bird, Jatayu came. Okay, and Jatayu was fighting against Ravana to protect Sita Devi. And Jatayu must be aware, Ravana is such a great demon. I am a mere bird. What I can do? Okay? In comparison, if you apply logic, what Jatayu did was not very intelligent. Right? One has to take note of his own prowess before entering the war with someone. But Jatayu's overwhelming emotion to protect Mother Sita just made him enter into the fight, battle with Ravana. So his affection for Mother Sita and Ram just made him fight with Ravana and eventually lose his wife also. And Ram also reciprocated. That will also come later. So now Sukadeva Goswami enters into the next episode where Lord Ram feels great separation from Mother Sita. 11th verse. Rakshodhamena vrikavad vipine samaksham. Vaideha Raja Duhitar Yapaya Pattayam. Bhratavane Krupanavat Priyaya Viyutta. Stri Sanginam Gatimiti Prathayam Chachara.
When Ramchandra entered the forest and Lakshmana was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of King of Videha, just as a tiger seizes unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Then Lord Ramchandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshmana, as if very much distressed due to separation from his wife. Thus, he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to a woman.
So, Raksho Adhamena. So, this lowly Rakshasa kidnapped Mother Sita. And then Ram, he was in lamentation because of separation from Mother Sita. And what is he doing? Stri Sanginam Gatim Iti. So, this is the destiny or this is the condition of a person who is attached to a woman. That's what he is showing by his own personal example. Okay? So, dangers of attachment to opposite sex, stri sanghi, that is explained by Prabhupada also in the purport. So it's moral instruction that grihe narinam vivarjayet. Whenever someone goes out in a tour, he has to leave the wife at home only. He cannot take wife along with him on the tour. If he goes out with wife, so he has to face some consequences. That is mentioned here. So whether in forest or at home, if one is attached to a woman, this attachment is always troublesome, as shown by Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his personal example. So this is a message to common people. You should not be attached to women. But actually what he is experiencing inside is a spiritual separation from his internal potency. This is Vipralamba Bhav, the highest form of union. In greatest feelings of separation, one can experience the highest union with his beloved. like that. So Ram does not belong to this material world or a subject to his to its conditions. He is the creator. Narayana Paravyaktat. So Vipralamba is an activity of Hladini potency of Supreme Lord belonging to Shringara Rasa, mellow of conjugal love in the spiritual world. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vrikriti Hladini Shakti Rasmat. So what's happening between Sita and Ram in this event of separation is both of them are experiencing nice Vipralamba bhav, which is very spiritual. So when Ram was separated from Sita, all the spiritual symptoms like Sattvika, Sanchari, Vilapa, Murcha, Unmada, they are getting manifested in both of them. So it's not ordinary. So Lord is neither impersonal nor important. He is Sachidananda Vigraha, the eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Thus, he has all symptoms of spiritual bliss. So feeling separation from one's beloved is also an item of spiritual bliss. Right? In separation, one can remember the beloved more. Right? So that is a deeper form of union. So Ram manifested the truth both spiritually and materially. Right? Spiritually, he is experiencing Vipralamba Bhav. Materially, he is giving a message to men of this world that you should not be attached to women. So Lord's mind, intelligence, senses can never be affected by material conditions. So this lamentation of Lord Ram is not material lamentation. So it is totally spiritual lamentation, spiritual separation. Right? So this episode is, Lord Ram's lamentation is very nicely described in Ramayana, that all the trees and birds and everything around was getting bewildered. Who is this person crying so much in separation from his wife? Right? That is the deepest Vipralamba Bhav that Ram is exhibiting. Even in the fifth canto, the prayers of Jambudvipa, in that context, they say, Martyavataram Kimpursha Varsha. Hanuman glorifies Lord Ram. Martyavataram Iha Martya Sikshanam. So, Martya Sikshanam. Lord, when he descends into this world, he not only kills the demons, but he also wants to teach people, teach the common people. What are the teachings that he is giving here? He gives two kinds of teachings. Okay, two classes of human beings. One class is devotees, one class is followers of religious principles. So to the devotees, he is saying, he is recommending renunciation. Okay, don't be attached to wife. Don't enter family life only, that's better. Okay, look at me, what am I going through? That is the message he gave to devotees inclined to renunciation. To the people who are following religious principles, he is giving, at any cost, you have to protect your wife. A chaste wife has to be protected at any cost. See what I am going through to protect my wife, to reclaim my wife. I am just making a bridge on the ocean and I am killing so many rakshasas and then retrieving my wife. So this is like that. And this whole episode of retrieving Sita from Lanka is compared by Acharyas to Sita being a soul entrapped in the material body, and Supreme Lord Krishna is sending spiritual master Hanuman, right? And then he is giving sound vibration and then finally reuniting the soul with the Supreme Lord. So that explanation we see many times. So, and the transcendental tribulations of the Lord are very spiritual. At the same time, devotees' tribulations are also spiritual. Right? That explanation is also there. And Prabhupada writes here in this purport that Ravana kidnapped Sita, but he didn't take the original form of Sita, original Sita. He took illusory form of Sita, illusory representation of Mother Sita. Right? Mother Sita was actually staying very safely in the protection of Agni. Right? And Ravana took some Maya Sita only. So, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing his South India tour, who is that? Ramdas Vipra. So that person, he was thinking that how can this Ravana touch Mother Sita? Right? He was lamenting. He was unable to accept this truth. Okay? But Lord Chaitanya said it's not truth only. So don't be bewildered. Don't confused. So I will... Actually, what Ravana kidnapped was a Maya Sita. It was not original Sita. And then he went ahead in his tour, and then he found, what is that book? Matsya Puran? Kurma Puran. He found some pages from Kurma Puran, and then he came back to this Brahmana's place.
he was going ahead in his tour, Lord took the trouble of coming back and meeting this person and then showing that Kurma Puran again and then going back on his tour. Like that. So Prabhupada also gives a lesson here that a woman must be protected at all stages. Right? Beginning stages, father, then husband, then son. So woman must always be under protection. If woman is not protected, right, when Ram and Lakshman were away, Sita was alone, unprotected, then Rakshasas like Ravana will come and kidnap. Similarly, women also will be exploited. Right? So modern women, they don't even realize that they are getting exploited. Right? Because of illusion. Now, 12th verse.
Dagdhvatma kritya hata kritya mahan kabandham. Sakhyam vidahya kapibhir dayitag himtaihi. Buddhata vali nihate plavagendra sainyair. Velam agatsa manujoja bhavachitanghri.
Lord Ramchandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed a demon named Kabanda, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Vali and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean.
So very fast way. So he forwarded the story. Sundarakanda is totally missing here. So Ram's lotus feet is worshipped by Brahma and Shiva here. Right, Vela, Magacha, Manujocha, Bhava, Archita, Angri. Bhava, Archita, Angri. Right, Aja is Brahma, Bhava is Shiva. So Bhava and Aja are worshipping the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. Right, Natasmate, Natha, Satangri, Pankajam, Virincha, Vairincha, Surendra, Vanditam. So Dwarkavasis also glorify Lord Krishna. Virincha means Brahmaji. Vairincha, sons of Brahma, like Shiva, Kumaras, Narada, etc. They all come and offer obeisances at your lotus feet. Right, and that is about the Lord and his consort, Goddess of Fortune. She is worshipped by the consorts of all these demigods. Tava suprabhatam aravinda lochane bhavatu prasanna mukhachandra mandale vidhi shankara indra vanita abhirarchite vrisha chaila nath dayite dayanithe. So all the vanitas of Indra, Vidhi, Shankara, means Saraswati, Parvati, Sachi Devi, all of them come and worship the lotus feet of Lakshmi Devi. Right, that is the position of the divine couple. So that is one element in this verse. Then there is also a mention that Lord Ram in the human being form did the funeral ceremony of Jatayu. That is his image. So he found Jatayu. He was searching for Sita, he was lamenting, and then he suddenly found Jatayu lying there with his last breath. And then Lord Ram played the role of a son and then did the funeral rites of Jatayu. So Lord Ram is accepting Jatayu as the father. Actually, Lord Ram gave liberation to Jatayu. Lord Ram was playing the part of human being throughout his incarnation, but at three places, he exhibited his supremacy, exhibited his non-human, transcendental behavior. One such incident is bestowing mercy on Jatayu, giving liberation to Jatayu. And another incident is Setumandhan, right, building a bridge against the laws of material nature. He made the stones float on the water. And that is another incident. Okay, on the way he meets Ahalya also, killing Kabandha. Kabandha image we have already seen earlier, right, that one-eyed fellow. Then he made friends with monkey chiefs. So actually, Lord Ram was searching everywhere, and then Shabari, she says, now you can go and make friendship with Sugriva. Okay, they will help you. Okay, she said like that, and she became a river. Then, as Ram and Lakshman were approaching towards this Rishyamukha mountain, right? There Sugriva is, and he gets insecure. Are they some you know, allies of Vali. Is Vali sending some people to kill me or what? Right? So Vali had some curse by some rishi that he cannot come to Rishimukha mountain. So Sugriva was suspecting that Ram and Lakshman were some friends of Vali, okay, and he is sending them to Sugriva to kill him. Then he sent Hanuman ji, you go and find out what's happening. So Hanuman ji came in the form of a Brahman, okay, but although he came in the form of Brahman, Ram identified, you are Hanuman, I know. Then Hanuman, why, how? He got some necklace, only he can see. Then Ram, Hanumanji manifested his original form, and then Lord Ram accepted him, and then Hanumanji took him to Sugriva, and they made friendship with each other nicely. Lord Ram promised Sugriva that I will help you in regaining your wife, and Hanumanji, Sugriva said, I will help you in regaining your wife. Okay, we are both are in a similar situation, so we'll help each other. Then what else is mentioned? He went to ocean beach. Okay. So Lord Ram made friends with Sugriva, and then he killed Vali also. Right? Actually, this Ramayana also gives one more nice explanation about Vaishnava Aparadha. Many examples are there. Here, when Sugriva was receiving Lord Ram, he gave a seat to Lord Ram. But and he also sat. And then he didn't offer a seat to Lakshman. Hanumanji noticed it. Actually, Sugriva and Ram, they were becoming friends. Right? So, Lakshman was a servant of Lord Ram. So, Sugriva thought that myself and Ram are equals. So, he is a servant of Lord Ram. I need not give him any special respect. So, he felt like that. Hanumanji noticed it. He just took one tree or something like that and then made the tree fall down. Branch. Okay, and then branch, he offered a seat to Lakshman. So Lakshman was happy. Lakshman didn't mind it, so he also sat. But Ram noticed it. He respected me and he didn't respect Lakshman. Later, as you know, in this fight, Sugriva was getting defeated, and then Lord Ram didn't do anything. And when he comes back, Lord Ram says, you both are looking similar, that's why I didn't kill. What if I kill you? Okay, that will be a great mistake. So then Lakshman offered him a garland. Lakshman offered a garland to Sugriva, and Sugriva had to bow down in front of Lakshman. So like that. So Lord Ram can tolerate offense towards himself, right? But he cannot tolerate offense towards his devotees. Okay, that's a constant theme. Actually, when Bharat was coming towards Lord Ram, when Lord Ram was doing vanvas, Bharat was coming. Okay, to admit his innocence, right? Everyone misunderstood Bharat. He wanted to admit his innocence in front of our Ram, and then he was approaching. Lakshman said, he has chased us away to forests, and now he's trying to attack us and kill us so that he can rule the kingdom for himself, even after 14 years. So Lakshman misunderstood Bharat. So Ram noted it. Then later, Sita misunderstood Lakshman. Right? He had to face a similar situation. Now, Sita misunderstood Lakshman, and she had to face a consequence. Ram gave her reaction. He doubted. Doubted means like apparently. He said, I cannot accept you as my wife back because you have spent 1 year in someone else's house. How can I accept you? I am not a lusty man. He said that. So, she had to undergo certain humiliation. Right? So, these are all transcendental affairs going on. But there are lessons for us to learn, okay, how not to misjudge other Vaishnavas. So Lord Ram gave this ring to this Hanumanji in the next episode. One thing about this Jatayu was that this caste, age, species, they are not barrier to Lord Ram's devotional service. This monkeys were animals, then Jatayu was a bird, then Vibhishana was a Rakshasa. All of them got, mercy of Lord Ramachandra. Even squirrel also got mercy of Lord Ramachandra. So Lord Ram doesn't discriminate. That fifth canto verse also, Najanmanonam, what's next? Mahatosu Sobhagam. So Lord Ram is not concerned so much about the opulences and then Janma and other prowess, etc. He is just satisfied with the devotion of people, right, of devotees. Then this verse ends with Lord Ram, this is all Sundarakanda, Lord Ram going to the ocean. So Hanumanji goes, Hanumanji takes the ring, he goes to Sita Devi, and then he burns the Lanka, and then he comes back, and then he gives the Chudamani of Sita Devi to Lord Ram, and then Lord Ram is about to go there, to Lanka. So he comes in on the shore of ocean, and then he asks the ocean for help.
Yadrosha vibhrama vivritta katakshapata Yadrosha vibhrama vivritta katakshapata Sambhranta nakramakaro bhayagirna gosha Sindhu sirasya arhanam parighritya rupi Padaravindam upagamya babhasha etat.
After reaching the beach, Lord Ramchandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger. And simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramchandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows.
So Lord Ram very rarely becomes angry. One of the very few incidents he becomes angry is on Samudra. Right? So 3 days, he was just praying to Samudra, please show us some way, give us some solution. What is your suggestion in this predicament? And then Samudra was not responding at all. So finally Lord Ram's eyes became red, and then he took his bow, and then he stringed the bow because of the Dhanush Tankar. All the aquatics in the ocean, they are getting bewildered, right? And Samudra just came out. So Lord Ram exhibited his pastimes of anger. Lord Ram's anger is a pastime. So he can also become angry. Supreme Lord also can become angry. But it is transcendental. It is a pastime. And the object of his anger is ultimately benefited. So here Samudra got that beautiful service of assisting Lord Ram. Right? Ram is glorified as the person who built a bridge on water, on ocean. And Samudra assisted it. Right, Samudra got this privileged service of assisting Lord Ram. So best utilizing of, even when devotees also, best utility of anger is in Krishna's service, towards the demons. So Hanuman also exhibited anger, that is towards demons, miscreants. Right? So 14th verse onwards, Samudra is offering nice prayers. Right? Samudra became very afraid and then came in front of Lord Ram. See what he says.
Natvam vayam jadadhiyo nuvidam abhuman Kutasthamadi purusham jagatam adhisham Yatsatvata suragana rajasa prajesha Manyoscha bhuta patayo pataya sabhavan gunesha.
All-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the Master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of the Ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the Master of all these qualities.
So Samudra is glorifying Lord Ram and considering himself as Jadadhiya. Natvam vayam Jadadhiyo nuvidam abhuman. Jadadhiya means dull minded, possessing very blunt intelligence. Jadadhiya, blunt intelligence, Prabhupada translates. So this blunt intelligence is possessed by everyone. Right? Jadadhiya is basically intelligence of an animal. Intelligence like an animal. So when somebody has that animal intelligence, he needs to be punished. Prabhupada writes, without being beaten, an animal cannot understand the purpose of a man. So similarly, those who are dull-minded cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when punished severely by the modes, they begin to understand him. Like that. So, this is Jadadhiya. Chakravartipad says, no one of us can understand you since we are under the gunas. That's another explanation. Anyone who is not understanding Krishna or Ram is considered to be in Jadadhiya. Even this Gajendra's prayers. Madhruk papanna prashupasha vimokshanaya. Pashupasha. In that context, Prabhupada writes, everyone is a pashu. Right? Everyone is under the modes of influence of modes. Pasha. Pasha of modes. So everyone is pashu. So everyone is in the in similar situation as Gajendra. So what he needs to do? Take shelter of Krishna. Like that. Samudra is also saying something similar. When one is distressed, he worships the Lord. But when one is opulent, he forgets him. That's why Kunti Maharani also says, I want distress, I don't want opulence. Ye janma ishwarya sata srivarya mana madha puman naivarham abhidatam vaitvam akinchana gocharam. You are the property of materially impoverished. This janma, aishwarya, sruta, shri are disqualifications for attaining you. Right? So then vipadas santuta sasvatatratra jagadguru. So when one is distressed, he worships Lord. But when one is opulent, he forgets him. So punishment by the Lord through the material nature is necessary in the human society. For without it, men forget the supremacy of the Lord. When they are getting so much distress, then they may feel some impetus to go and take shelter of the Supreme Lord, controller. Sometimes they may remember the Lord. Right? That's why punishment by material nature is necessary. Prabhupada says, sir, without it, men will forget the supremacy of the Lord due to their dull, blunt intelligence. Like that. So little relief in our material situation also can make us forget from Krishna. Forget Krishna. Like that. I will skip this. No time. 15th. Kaman prayahi jahi vishravaso vimeham. Trailokya ravanam avapanu. Avapnuhi veera patnim. Badhnihi setu mihate yashaso vitatyai. Gayanti digvijayino yamupetyat bhupa.
My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediments to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and the kings in the future will glorify you.
So although Samudra did not respond for a while, for almost 3 days, so he came out with so much of worship paraphernalia to worship the Lord as soon as Lord Ram took the bow. Okay, and he admits that Jadadhiya, we can't understand because of modes or whatever. And now, because punishment, because out of fear of punishment, he just came out. Right? And now he is criticizing Lord Ravana. Ravana is condemned like urine because he is causing disturbances in the three worlds. So Prabhupada says that Putra and Mutra come from the same source. So a devotee, or if some child is not a devotee or a learned person, giving birth to such a child is wasting one's potency only. Like that. It's time waste. Once Govind Prabhu said a heavy statement. He was quoting some scriptural statement, said, when a mother gives birth to a non-devotee, she is like a pig and her sons are like piglets. So that is the extent of training children in devotional service, like that. So now, that is in relation to mother. In relation to father, he is like mutra, right? Putra is like mutra. So non-devotee son is like mutra in relation to father, and a piglet in relation to mother. So Ravana is like that, as told by our Samudra. And now in the next part of the verse, Samudra says, my waters will not impede you, will present no impediment for your crossing. If you want to cross on my water, you can just immediately just walk on the waters. You will not drown, right? So it's a mystic power to walk on the surface of water. Lord Ram is Yogeshwara. He's the master of all mystic powers. So if he wants, he can walk on the water. He can make all the crores and crores of monkeys also walk on the water. However, please construct a bridge. Why? I want to see you glorified in the future. Right? But please construct a bridge to spread your transcendental fame for future glorification. Right? My waters will not present any impediment. If you want, you can cross like that. But I request you to make a bridge so that you will be glorified in future. So Samudra, now he came to such a proper consciousness that he wants to see Lord Ram being glorified for the rest of eternity for making a bridge. Who can make a bridge of stones in water? Okay, without some, you know, pillars or whatever coming out from the bottom or obstructing the flow, like that. That in ocean, not on some lake or some river. Right? So Lord Ram, he wants to see Lord Ram glorified. So omnipotence. So Prabhupada says it's not a very wonderful act. So Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences. But to prove that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructs wonderful bridges. Now Lord Ram is, by default, he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He need not declare himself, or he need not advertise himself, right? So ordinary so-called gods of this material world need some posters and publicity that so that people can accept them as gods. But Lord Ram doesn't need that. But sometimes he will perform such wonderful activities so that people will understand his supremacy. So Prabhupada says, based on these uncommon activities that Supreme Lord is doing, we can accept him as Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why one should accept someone as a God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something which is never to be done by any common man? So one cannot accept him. So God means he has to do some very great uncommon activity, like building bridge on ocean or lifting Govardhan mountain when he was 7 years old. So these are uncommon activities. And when understands these uncommon activities, then janma karma cha medivyam, then he need not come back to this material world. Symptoms of Lord's activities are all mentioned in the Shastras. And after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. Like that. So actually one of the purposes of Lord's descent is to attract the attention of this conditioned soul by performing such uncommon activities. Right? By performing sweet pastimes with his devotees, like that. So to kill Ravana, Supreme Lord need not undergo his great endeavor of taking birth as human being and assisted by demigods and then staying in forests and then crossing over ocean and taking help from everyone. So he need not undergo so much endeavor. But by doing all this, he is enjoying himself transcendentally. At the same time, he is leaving a subject matter for all the people to discuss and then get purified. He's attracting the attention of people. If he just comes in and just kills Ravana in 1 second, which he can do, right? There is not much discussion. So there is no need of 3 hours class now. And there is no need of all these paintings also, as Ravana is killed, only one painting. Right? So it's all for glorification. And our Samudra is very much eager that Lord has to be glorified more. Although you can cross over the ocean like that, still you can make a bridge so that you can be glorified. Now in the next verse, the bridge is constructed.
Baddhodadau Raghupatir Vividhadrikutaihi Setum Kapindra Karakam Pitabhu
భూర్భాంగ్రి సుగ్రీవనీల హనుమత్ ప్రముఖైర్ అనీకైర్ లంకాం విభీషణ దృశ దృశా విశద్ అగ్రదనఘ్రం.
Sukhdev Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramchandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, Nila and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burned by Hanuman.
So bridge was constructed with the help of so many monkeys, right? All of them wrote the name of Lord Ram on the stones, right? And then they put it on the ocean. So the power of this Lord Ram's name can make the stones also float, right? So by the supreme will of the Lord, many great planets float weightlessly, just like cotton swabs. There many planets are floating in the cosmic sky. What a big deal if one stone floats on the river, on the ocean. It's not very wonderful compared to the potency of the Lord, but it is very much wonderful as a pastime of the Lord so that common man can glorify like that. So it's not very, very much wonderful because mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Material nature is working under the superintendence of the Lord. So it is not in the nature of a stone to float on water. Plastic can float, but stone cannot float. Right? Stone by nature will drown in the water. But Krishna or Ram, being the controller of material nature, can change the nature of that materials also. Right? So stone will float on the water. So what a big deal, like that. So Ram's constructing bridge is wonderful only in the sense that it has kept the name and fame of Ram eternally celebrated, like that. And he made monkeys to construct the bridge. Okay, no architects, no engineers. Of course, Nila is an architect, right? So, like monkey architects are there, right? Monkey labor are there. So if someone is claiming to be God, he may be given a couple of monkeys. Please handle them. Right? Forget about engaging them in some practical service. Okay, just handle few monkeys, we'll accept you as God. So he'll fail. Like that. And because they did so much hard work, Krishna fed them butter. Right? Ram became Krishna and then he fed them butter later in Vrindavan. So he can do anything and everything he likes, because he is not under the control of material nature. Indeed, material nature is controlled by him. Yasya agnaya bhramati sambhrita kala chakra. The controller of kala chakra, what a big deal if he makes a stone float on water, like that. Now all the monkeys, they went to Lanka, 17th verse. Savanarendra balaruddha vibhara koshta శ్రీద్రావ గోపుర సదో వలభీవిటంక నిర్భజ్యమాన దశిన ధ్వజ హేమకుంభ శృంగాటక గజకులైర్ హృదినీవ ఘూర్ణ.
After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila and Hanuman occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages and even the resting houses of the pigeons. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants.
Even they entered the houses of pigeons, resting houses of pigeons. So all these monkeys just occupied the whole Lanka. This Vibhishan comes because
Vibhishan gave some good advice. You better go and surrender Sita to Ram. And Ravan said, how dare you say that to me, get out of my kingdom. So Vibhishan had to come out. Then he surrendered unto Lord Ram. And here also there is a beautiful discussion where Sugriva was not accepting him in the troop of Lord Ram. And Hanuman gave a good review about Vibhishan. When I went to Lanka, to burn Lanka, to find Sita Devi, he seemed to be very gentle. So all that. And finally Lord Ram said, irrespective of whatever he is, because he has taken my shelter, I will give him shelter. Like that. Then assisted by Hanuman, then Vibhishan, all of them. So all of the monkeys and along with Ram and Lakshman, they went to Lanka and then they started destroying. 18th verse. This is Kumbhakarna.
Rakshah patistadavalokyani kumbha kumbha Dhumraksha durmukha surantaka narantakadin Putram prahastam atikaya vikampanadin sarvanugam samahinod athakumbhakarnam.
When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumbha, Kumbha, Dumraksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son Indrajit. Thereafter, he called for Prahastha, Adhikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies.
So much massacre has happened. So when Lord Ram's mercy is there and order is there, even monkeys can create such terror in the hearts of great, powerful, mystic Rakshasas. Right? Mokam karvati vachalam pangum langayate hirum girim. Guru's mercy is there, anyone can do a lot of service. Now, 18th verse describes how Ravana induced so many of his warriors to fight. Narantaka, Surantaka, Kumbha, Nikumbha, Dhumraksha, Durmukha. Right, so many Rakshasas, then finally Kumbhakarna. So all of them, these are different scenes of the fight. Now 19th verse. I read the translation. Lord Ramachandra surrounded by Lakshmana and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandhamada, Neela, Angada, Jambavan and Panasha attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prashas, rishtis, shakti arrows, khadgas and tomaras. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry horses and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, arrows. Thus the soldiers of Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. So much endeavor has happened to reclaim Mother Sita. And in this whole endeavor, we can take a great lesson how one's lust can ruin oneself so much. This Ravana, although he's so powerful, he's equipped with such great weapons and assisted by such great commanders, warriors, still he is defeated by some insignificant monkeys. Right, compared to his prowess, and no one could save him. Here Prabhupada says that there are two kinds of strength, Daiva and Purushakara. Daiva means strength achieved from the Supreme Lord, transcendence. Purushakara means strength organized by one's own intelligence and power, right, one's own efforts. So because this Ravana's soldiers, although they are equipped with, such great mystic weapons and then modern warfare, and their weapons are given in 19th verse. You see, swords, lances, bows, parsas, rishtas, shakti arrows, khadgas, tomaras, such sophisticated weapons they are having. And what are the weapons that monkeys are having? Some tree branches, some stones, some mountain peaks, that's all they have. Okay, although they are having that, yes, what else? Claws and teeth. So that's all they have. But they could easily defeat all of them. They could kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. Why? because they have the blessings of Lord Ramachandra, and these Rakshasas are cursed by Mother Sita. Right? Her tears are wiping them off, wiping the whole Rakshasa race off from Lanka. Like that. So transcendental power is always superior to the power of materialist. Depending on the mercy of Supreme Lord, one must fight. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. One may be feeble in his own strength, like a monkey. But still, if he is empowered by Lord, if he is assisting in Lord Ram's mission, and you know, he will be achieve success. But however powerful one may be, but if he acquires some curses from Mother Sita or some other devotee of the Lord, he will be wiped out. Right? His own strength will not save him. Like that. So we should fight our enemy to the best of our ability. For the victory, we must depend on the mercy of the Lord. Like that. If Krishna wants, monkeys can become heroes. If Goddess of Fortune is destroyed, great powerful warriors and Rakshasas can be destroyed. 21st verse. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus he mounted his airplane, and which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded towards Lord Ramachandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Mathali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows. Okay, this is what? This is Indrajit. Indrajit being killed by Lakshman. Okay, so Lord Ram got a chariot from Mathali, and then he was killing this Ravana. Yeah, this is the one. 22. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravan, "You are the most abominable of man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog. For as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnapped my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." This is how Ram chastised Ravan so thoroughly. So, nacha daivat param balam, Prabhupada writes, no one can surpass the strength of the transcendence. What is that? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, vidhur jayati. No one can surpass Krishna in excellence. Right? No one is superior to him. Asamordhva. People want Lakshmi without Narayana. People want energy without energetic. People want blessings without the blesser. Like that. If people only aspire for name, fame and popularity and recognition, and means that is like the opulences of the Lord, Lakshmi, without Narayana, then they will be ruined. Like that. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the disqualification of the Rakshasas. They are unaware that the Supreme Lord is the ruler of creation. They think that everything is happening by chance, accident. Then they act independently as they like. Even they go to the extent of kidnapping Goddess of Fortune also. Ravana's policy is extremely dangerous for the materialist. It brings ruin to the materialistic civilization. Religion consists of the orders of Supreme Lord, and one who carries out these orders is religious. What is religion? Dharmam to sakshat bhagavat pranitam. What is irreligion? Acting against the dharma, against the injunctions of Supreme Lord. If one acts according to the injunctions of the Lord, he will attain all success. Yasya anuvrittya krutino bhubhuvima. Then one who fails to carry out Lord's orders is irreligious, and he is to be punished. What is Lord's order? Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam raja. That is your parodharma. Savai pumsam parodharma yato bhakti radhokshaje. If one doesn't do that, although he follows so many other dharmas, right? Atapumbe dvije sreshta varanashrama vibhagasaha sanishtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. That has to be done to serve the Lord. Otherwise, it is shramayavahi kevalam. Like that. Prabhupada makes this nice statement here. 23. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramchandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound. Alas, alas, what has happened? As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Right. So, Prabhupada elaborates on this, that the exalted positions in the material world are all temporary. So, kshine punye martya lokam vishanti, the last line of this verse says that only. So, fruitive activities in the material world, one does, and then he goes up, and then he has to come down once the effect is gone. Right? Somebody has 100 rupees in his pocket, he goes out and then eats something. So, the more you are ordering items, the less the amount in your pocket is becoming. So, he has to come out. So, he will not give you more. One more pizza, please. No, give me 100 rupees more. So, Ravana's example is, he is raised to an exalted position, but because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all results of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends a exalted personality, especially supreme personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes most abominable. Then Sagara's sons are also having this same story we discussed a few days back. So, and he will be bereft of results of pious activities. One must fall down like Ravana and other demons. Kamsa, Saubari, so many cases of Vaishnava Prat. So, Daksha and Shiva. So, one has to transcend both these pious activities and impious activities and remain in pure state for freedom from all designation. Sarvapadhinirmuktam. By being fixed in devotional service. One should not be proud of one's exalted position and act like Ravana. That's an insecure position. Thinking oneself independent of material nature's laws. So now when Ravana died, all the women, Ravana's queens came out, women headed by Mandodari, 24 and 25. Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle, headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka. Continuously crying, they approached the dead sons of Ravana and other Rakshasas, striking their breasts in affliction, because their husbands had been killed by the arrows of Lakshmana. The women embraced their respective husbands and cried piteously in voices appealing to everyone. Oh my Lord, oh Master, you epitomize trouble for others. See how they are lamenting. You epitomize trouble for others, and therefore you are called Ravana. Ravana means one who is meant to give trouble to others. Okay, sabko rulate. That is Ravana. But now that you have been defeated, we are also defeated. For without you, the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. To whom will it go for shelter? So 26th verse, Mandodari is lamenting. So Ravana continuously causes trouble for others, but when his sinful activities culminated in giving trouble to Sita Devi, he was also killed by Ravana. So one may be encouraged to commit more and more mistakes or sinful activities and wrong deeds, and he may not be punished also for the time being. Right? That is not that his mistakes are not counted. Right? So Lord waits for the right moment to punish. Similarly, one's offenses or whatever, irregular chanting or some other mistakes in one sadhana life, so they may not show effects right now. But it will take some time. After some time, the effects are seen. So Ravana did so many mistakes, but they culminated in kidnapping Sita, and in 1 year, he is gone. He and entire, all his supporters are gone. So like that. Ravana received so many feedbacks from Mandodari, from Kumbhakarna also. Did you consult us before bringing Sita? Now we are engaging us in war. He said, I order you to go out and fight. Okay, I will go. Because you are ordering me, I will go out and fight. But it's not good. You will also be ruined. All of them gave them warnings. Right? And some low people, cheap people, they were unnecessarily glorifying Ravana. Aray, who can defeat you? You are this, you are that. They were glorifying, and then Vibhishan said, all these people who are glorifying you are your enemies. Your enemies are not the monkeys. These people who are glorifying you and encouraging your wrong deeds, they are your enemies. Okay, whoever is giving you feedback, he is your friend. So Ravana did not pay any heed to whoever gave him feedback, and he was just unnecessarily puffed up by those who are supporting his activities. So like that. Even just before the war also, Ram gave him, okay, but if you surrender Sita to me, I will forgive you. But Ravana did not hear all that. So lust covered his intelligence. So 27th verse. Yeah, power of chastity, they're all there.
I think we will discuss tomorrow. It's time now. Hare Krishna, Broji. Hare Krishna, Broji. Broji, can you speak a few words on Rama, this whatever we have discussed?
Ah, you gave a wonderful explanation, Prabhu. Actually, the pastime of Rama and Ramana, very good explanation. I will not add anything. It was very wonderful. For every verse, you gave actual points to that. Thank you.
Any elaboration from your side, Prabhu? We'll be grateful to hear that. Just few points.
Only occasionally I will add. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. Thank you all very much. Mitra Shivad Bhagavatam ki jai. Ramayan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Questions. Right point. Okay, not much. So 9th canto, 9.10 may take first question for 30 marks. 9.9 take third question for 20 marks. And quote 47th verse. 9.9.47 you can quote. 9.9.47. What is that verse? Just let me check once. 47. Arteshamaya Rajiteshu Sangam. Shastri. After lunch? Bhakti Shastri. Bindu Prabhu will give you questions. Bro, just give them just before they write exam.
अरे हाँ, आपके पास थोड़ा काम है, आपके पास थोड़ा काम है, वो मुझे ये लेना है। 1 मिनट।